We're going to be in two different places today in your text, in the book of Matthew chapter 2 or chapter 1, and then also in Galatians chapter 4. If you want to turn to Galatians 4, we'll start there, and then we'll be in Matthew chapter 1. The title of the message today, if you're taking notes, is At Just the Right Time. Just the Right Time. And for such a time as this, we believe that the Lord has brought us together to worship together on this Sunday. For such a time as this, in this season, in this time, and reflecting on all the events of this last year that have brought us to this moment, reflecting on all that has happened over the decades to bring us to this place in Studio City, in a church, worshiping together, to reflect on all that has happened, seeing what the Lord has done in our lives or is doing in our lives to bring us to this point. That's what I want to talk about today. About 2 weeks before Christmas, heard of this story, maybe you heard of it too, a little boy decided to write Santa a letter. He started, "Dear Santa," then he stopped and said, "No, I'm going to go to a higher authority. Excuse me, because I don't know if Santa can do this one. This is a big request." So he decided to write a letter to Jesus. And he says, "Dear Jesus, if you get me a bike for Christmas, I will be good for 2 weeks." And no, he starts scratching that one out. He says, "I can't be good for 2 weeks." And so he thought to himself, "Dear Jesus, if you get me a bike for Christmas, I will be good for 1 week." And then immediately he starts scratching that out and says, no, I don't think I can be good for 1 week. So then he says, "I'm going to do something else." He quickly runs to his father's study room and he grabs one of the nativity scene statues, the statue of Mother Mary. And he then runs and grabs a blanket and he wraps the statue tightly up of the Mother Mary and he sits down and starts to write again. And he writes, "Dear Jesus, I have your mother. If you ever want to see her again, you will get me a bike for Christmas." Merry Christmas. When Pope Julius I authorized December 25th to be celebrated as the birth of Jesus in AD 353, who would have ever thought that it would have become what it is today? When Professor Charles Fallon lit candles on the first Christmas tree in America in 1832, who would have ever thought that the decorations would have become as elaborate as they are today? It's a long time since 1832 and longer still from 353, longer still from that dark night brightened by a special star in which Jesus, the King, was born. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Yet as we approach December 25th again, it gives us another opportunity to pause in the midst of all the excitement and elaborate decorations, expensive commercialized things that surround us on Christmas Day, to consider again the event of Christmas and the person whose birth we celebrate. He, Jesus, showed up at just the right time in history. Have you ever had something show up at just the right time? Maybe it's that check you were waiting for, or that piece of mail, or that package on Amazon, right, that you ordered for Christmas, wondering if it's going to get here on time. Oftentimes throughout life, we wonder, when is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? When am I going to get that job? When am I going to get married? When will we have kids? When will that money come through? Why did this go wrong at that time? When will I get out of this situation? When will that opportunity come? When will things get better? The question of time. And the question of when. Though we question many things in life, here is a question I want you to consider today about time and about when. Do you think God is surprised by anything that happens in life? Or are the things happening in our lives, in our situation, happening at just the right time, just as He has planned? All these moments are for a specific reason and purpose, and I want you to contemplate that today. We're going to read Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Can we stand for the reading of God's word? We always stand for the reading of God's word to pay honor to Him and to remember whose word we are reading. Not my words, they belong to Him. His word will change us forever. Galatians chapter 4 speaks about the birth of Jesus. Maybe you've never seen it before, maybe for the first time. Galatians chapter 4, take a look at verse 1. It says, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than servants until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father has, they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were servants to the basic spiritual principles of this world. Here it is, verse 4. But when the right time came, at just the right moment, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, who were servants or slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a servant, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray now by the power of your Holy Spirit as we reflect on this moment where you sent your son to the earth at just the right time. God, I pray that we would reflect on all that you have done in our lives leading up to this moment. And maybe at just the right time, once again today, you are calling us closer to yourself on this Christmas Eve. God, we ask that you would reveal to us once again your gift to the earth, and that we would remember, we would reflect, that we would grow. We pray your blessing on our time together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The text says here in Galatians 4 that at just the right time, God sent his son into the world. Now think about this. If you were God or you're with the angels, and you're planning, there's going to be a time when we are going to send my son Jesus into the earth. What time would you pick? What period of time would you pick? What time of history would you pick? And the plan was that God would send his son into the world, born of a woman, to buy freedom for us. Freedom from the law that condemns us of our wrongs. To forgive us, to make us children of God, adopted by God, sons and daughters of the King, to whom God has made us, the text says, heirs. We have an inheritance coming from God, heaven. And that is why God sent his son. He sent him at just the right time. He sent him as the greatest gift the world has ever seen. God's timetable was perfect. Verse 4 says he was sent at just the right time. It was the right religious atmosphere in Jerusalem. It was the right political climate of the Romans. It was the right culture and time and history for God to split time in half and bring the Savior into the world. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 1, the birth of Jesus. Since we have an overall, we have a balcony view from heaven of God's plan to send his son into the earth at this time. This is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to work. This is the time period in which we will do it. This is the climate in which we will do it. Now we get to zoom in on the picture. We got the visual from the kids. It was fantastic. Now we get to look right at the text and see what actually happened in that moment. This story, many of you know well. Let's reflect on it again. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, we read over this, we gloss over this very quickly, but just think about this. Ladies, you're sitting there, you're young, you're excited, you're engaged to this guy, and all of a sudden an angel comes to you and says, surprise, you're pregnant. Wait, what? Yeah, you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit with the Son of God. Uh-oh. Like, what do you mean? I'm going to, like, have a baby in, like, 9 months? Are you kidding me right now? Yes, surprise. Well, at least I get to give him his name, right? I get to pick it out. You know, this time. No. It's going to be a boy, and you will call his name Jesus. God literally shows up in Mary and Joseph's life and surprises them at just the right time. Now, a surprise to them, but just the right time for God, and ultimately just the right time for them. They just didn't know it. Surprise, you're pregnant. In verse 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph was, of course, confused. He thought Mary was pregnant by another man. You know, Mary coming to him, Joseph, don't know how to tell you this, but I'm pregnant. What? He got angry, you know, he kicked the side of the tent, you know, and he knocked over some hay bales, you know. She says, no, it's by the Holy Spirit. And he's like, what? Nobody in town is going to receive this. And so he doesn't make a big deal out of it. He says, well, I guess we got to get divorced quietly. And then that night, Joseph goes to sleep, and an angel comes to him in his dream and says, Joseph, your wife is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Take her as your wife. And Joseph chooses to do so. You know, the great Larry King, the great interviewer, said that if he could choose one person to interview from the course of human history, he would choose to interview Jesus Christ, of all people. And King said that he would like to ask Jesus if he was indeed virgin born. He added that answer, the answer to that question would define history for me. If he knew that he was virgin born, it would change everything. And we know the text says very clearly that he was. Verse 21 says, she will bear a son, Joseph, and you shall call his name Jesus. Watch this. For he will save his people from their sins. Remember, she just found out she's pregnant. She now has found out the gender reveal party. Surprise! It's a boy. You're going to call his name Jesus. Sorry, you don't get to pick the name. Because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I know he's not born yet. I know you just barely found out you're pregnant. But I'm telling you, this boy is going to be born. You're going to have him. And he is going to grow up, and he's going to save his people from their sins. This is the whole mission and plan. I know it's crazy. You're shocked that you're just pregnant right now, but this is what's actually going to happen. You're going to call his name Yeshua, which means the Lord is salvation. His name means the Lord saves. His name, in his name is packaged the salvation plan to save the earth from their sins, to save the earth from themselves, from hating and hurting each other and tearing each other down, not loving God, not loving each other. I'm sending this kid into the world to grow up to be a man to save his people from their sins. The plan was already mapped out. We got two major problems here on the earth now, don't we? We got sin and death. We can't seem to stop hurting each other, and we want to live forever. But it's proven one out of every one person dies, huh? We're like not getting away from that. So we'll prolong, and we'll try to stay as healthy as possible to get some quality of life. But secondly, we want peace. We want peace with one another. I think we genuinely want this in each of our hearts. When something goes wrong, we just want peace. We just want to be able to sleep at night. We just want a little bit of joy in life and to enjoy one another. And Jesus came to help us with both of these things. Jesus solved both of these issues in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why he came to the earth. He is the Prince of Peace. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. God's gift to us, church, family. God's gift to the earth. He wrapped up a package. He sent it through a woman. His gift to us is his presence. His gift to us is a relationship with him, his presence with us. Jesus coming to the earth was to build back the bridge to God, which was broken in the garden. That's the whole story of Christmas. His gift is coming to bring peace on earth. Matthew Henry said it this way, God's presence with man in his house, though it be but a cottage, makes it a castle and a palace. It's to have God in your home, to have God in your presence, the one who is love, the one who is joy, the one who is peace, to have God with you through life, through everything you're ever going to go through, just to know that God's with you and he's going to take care of you. He's going to guide you and lead you and direct you, to have God with you, Emmanuel, God with us. This is the gift. This is why people are wandering and searching all over the earth. They're looking for their Father. They're looking for the one who made them. They want a relationship with the God who made them. Not religion, truly a relationship. It's amazing that he refers to himself as Father and Jesus referred to as Son. Deep relationship. That God would want that with us. J.I. Packer said it this way, the divine Son became a Jew. The Almighty appeared on the earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. He goes on to say, the Son of God came to seek us where we are in order that he might bring us to be with him where he is. He came down to the earth to seek us where we are, that he might bring us back to where he is. Trying to connect the gap between us and God. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, verse 24, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife Mary, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph listened and obeyed the Lord at just the right time. Think about this. The birth of Christ and salvation plan was thought about by God and planned before the creation of the world. Did you know that? Before all of this ever happened, there was already a rescue plan in place. He saw the plan long before it ever happened and made sure to have a rescue mission for us to save us from ourselves. That's a blessing, to have a plan in place to save us. 1 Peter 1:19 talks about it. It says it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him to you in these last days. And so at just the right time, Jesus was born. Perfect timing. Think about all that was happening around Joseph and Mary. Think about the Roman suppression upon the Jews. Think about how far the Pharisees and the fake religion had grown. And Jesus comes on the scene and is like, hello, surprise, I'm here. And he starts disrupting everything. Jesus taught these kind of things. You have heard it said, but I say to you. You heard these things taught of the law and of religion, but I say to you this. He keeps saying things like this. It's not about the letter of the law. Stop focusing on rules. God doesn't want you to obey a rule. He wants your heart. He wants you to really learn to love and serve one another. This isn't about just keeping a law to make sure you've kept it so that your neighbor doesn't get mad at you. This is about putting a law in place that will ultimately help you love your neighbor better. It's not about the letter of the law. It says this. It's about the spirit of it. What does it mean? And so in the Jesus say things like this. In the Old Testament, when your neighbor's donkey falls into a hole and breaks its leg, you should pay him, you know, $50. You're like, oh, why should I have to obey that law? The whole point was, dude, love your neighbor. His donkey fell into a hole in your yard. Why don't you just take care of him? The spirit of it is taking care of one another. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship with a God. It's about a relationship with one another. And this is the gap that Jesus is trying to mend. Religion is just a lot of man-made rules and regulations trying to control people. relationship. From the Garden of Eden until today, God has just been shouting to creation, come and be with me. Come walk with me. Come know me. I love you. And I love you so much, I'm going to send my own son into the world to save you on a rescue mission from your sin and bring you back to me so I can teach you how to love. I can show you how to have peace. He's saying, come walk with me and get on loving and serving each other. That's what this is all about. Jesus was born at just the right time, a new beginning on earth, a new king on the horizon, the Messiah, the Savior. God had been silent for 400 years through the prophets. They stopped speaking. No prophets, just 400 years, four centuries of silence. Like, is anything going on anymore spiritually? And then bang, Jesus is born. John the Baptist shows up, and the harvest was so ripe and ready to receive the newborn king. Some would argue, why didn't he come at the right time? Or why didn't he come earlier? Why not later in the year 2000? Can you imagine Jesus being born now? That's weird to think about, huh? What about 2,000 years prior to the time when he was born in Israel? It's really interesting to contrast, but it's wild to think how it impacts history, the time in which he is born. God planned a specific day to send his son on that rescue mission, and it actually split time, B.C., before Christ, in our history timeline. It could have shown up at any time. Think about this. Let me bring you into the story. Think about the day that you were born. It was planned by God. And God knows the day that you will step into eternity. Only God knows. And to think how the day and place and time in history that you were born sets into motion millions of moments to bring you to this moment. If you were born 1 minute earlier, you would have missed lots of people that you've come in contact with now. If you were born 1 minute later, you would have missed lots of people. But you were born at the time that you were born, at the minute that you were born. You were born, can you imagine if you were born in a different culture or a different country or here a different time period? Some of you are like, I kind of wish I was born in a different time period. I belong in the 1300s, actually. But at just the right time, in the right place, in the right year, God brought you into the story of this universe. And all of those moments have led to this moment right now. Isn't that incredible? How'd you get here? Right? When I say, how'd you get here, there's a flash, right? I think about myself too, how did I get here? It's wild to think, you know, planting a church 9 years ago in LA of all places and then seeing all of this take place, how did we get here? If Jesus' birth was planned, if our birth was planned at just the right time when he was born and came on the scene, then that would mean that his death was also planned at just the right time. And that would mean that his betrayal was planned at just the right time. Do you remember Jesus' betrayal and everyone leaving him, including Peter? Remember? That would mean that that kiss from Judas was planned at just the right time. That would mean that him being arrested was at just the right time and the right night. It could have been the day before. It could have been the day after. But for some reason on that day, God says, that is when that will happen. And that started on Good Friday. And we celebrate Good Friday now. What if it was Good Thursday? No, you can't do that. That messes up the story. That's the name. We can't do that. Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week. Interesting to look at the details of life and how all this comes to pass. It says there in Mark 14, verse 49, but let the scriptures be fulfilled about the betrayal. That the whole point was the scriptures being fulfilled. It had been foretold. It was going to happen. And at just the right time, Jesus went to the cross. It was all planned. Acts chapter 2, verse 23, long ago, God planned that Jesus would be handed over to you with the help of evil people. You put Jesus to death, nailing him to a cross. Why? Verse 24 says, because God wanted to raise him from the dead. He set him free from the suffering of death, and it wasn't possible for the death to keep hold of Jesus. all of this planned so that he would rise from the dead. Why did he have to go to the cross? To pay a punishment for our sins. Why? So that he would rise from the dead. What does resurrection tell you? That he has the power to actually give you life here on this earth. A supernatural resurrected life right now. You stop hating and hurting someone. God rips out the heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. You start loving and serving other people. And second, that he can raise you from the dead when you pass into eternity and live forever, which is what we need and what we ultimately want. We don't want our loved ones just to go away. We want to know that we will see them again one day. This is built into us. We hurt so badly when someone passes, it's very difficult. We long to see them again. Why? We want to live forever. And all the billionaires are trying to do it, huh? And all the cold plunges and all the heat treatments and all the red light staring. We want to live forever. The birth came just at the right time. Death came just at the right time. Then guess what? Jesus rose from the dead at just the right time, perfectly 3 days later, to defeat death, all planned to impact those around him at just the right time. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Who was the joy? It was us, despising the shame, and he has been sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author, he is the writer of our faith. He knows the story, he knows the arc, he knows the plot, he knows your life. God is the author and finisher of our faith. He's writing your story. He's written the whole story. It's in his hands. And I'm so thankful it's in his hands, right? Other than some writers here in LA, right? Praise God. Bad joke? Sorry. The story is in his hands. He is a gracious, good, awesome, loving God. He loves you. He has a plan for you. Family, let me ask you, think through the stories of the Bible with me quickly. At just the right time, God asked Abraham to leave his land, not knowing where he was going. Do you remember? Leave your land, Abraham. What? Just go. Because he was going to make him the father of the faith, Father Abraham. Abraham didn't know in that moment, but he was told to go. And now we talk about him as the father of the faith. At just the right time, Noah was told to build an ark that would take him 100 years to build, God knowing the exact day and year he would send the rains into the future. Start building now. God knew. At just the right time, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, remember? And only so that he would interpret dreams for Pharaoh and become the king of Egypt and save the people from the great famine. God knew all along, and he put Joseph in motion. At just the right time, David was anointed with oil as a boy. Don't you have another son? Let me see. Where is that ruddy boy? Oh, David, he's out playing in the field with the sheep. That's my man. Bring him in here. Dumps oil on his head. This is the king of Israel. That guy? That little guy right there? Yes. David goes on, slays the giant Goliath by the Spirit of God, and he becomes the greatest king Israel has ever seen. God knew. He knew the story. He knew long before anybody else did. At just the right time, Job, remember, the richest, most righteous man in his town, he lost everything. He lost his family, he lost his business, and he lost his health. He didn't mock God. He blessed God in the midst of his suffering to prove to the devil that God's people will not turn from him. And the Lord restored it all back to Job tenfold, and he went on to live a full life, and God knew. And human history needed that story. When we go through a difficult time, we reflect back on Job and see that God can make all things new. At just the right time, Peter had to vow to Jesus. Do you remember? I'll never deny you, Lord. Even if everyone denies you, I will never deny you. Jesus says, Peter, my man, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows in the morning. Tonight, I will never deny you. Even if I'll deny, I'll never do it. It's going to happen, my man. And you know the story. Peter denied the Lord early in that morning, and the Lord used it at just the right time to restore Peter's faith and strengthen him like never before to make him an apostle of the church. Now, Peter, you know what it feels like to run from me. Now run with me. Love my sheep, feed my sheep. I'm making all things new. At just the right time, Paul was changed. Saul was changed to Paul. The Christian murderer became the greatest Christian apostle ever at just the right time to launch the church and launch church history, planting many churches and spreading the gospel throughout the world. God planned all of these events. Now, at just the right time, church, legacy, your life, your story, do you know? At just the right time, new beginnings will come in your life. Those new beginnings are waiting for you. They will happen in your life at just the right time. He has perfect timing and they are on their way. It is part of his arc, part of the story. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new is come. But at just the right time, know this, hardships will come into your life at just the right time. But know this, don't worry. They're at just the right time. God is working something in you. It's okay. He's doing a work. The tree can't grow more until it's pruned. Oftentimes we can't realize how beautiful the sunshine is until we go through a great storm. Trees' roots don't go down deep until storms come and winds come and try to blow the thing down. It's not until you go through the flame, until you go through the storm, until you go through these things that we are more established in life. God's working something in you. Jesus said to us, John 16:33, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the whole world for you, and I will carry you through these hardships. His gift to us is himself. At just the right time, things will be made new. Those difficulties in your life will be made new, resurrected, redeemed for God's glory. If you live long enough, go talk to the old people in our church. You live long enough, you know that time changes things. This too shall pass. It's going to be okay. Keep walking with the Lord. Revelation 21:5 says, and he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. God has you where he wants you, church. Today, right now, for such a time as this. You were to come here today and to watch the kids' production and laugh and be built up. You're come here today to receive this sermon, to take that in. You're come here today to sing and to fellowship with the people of God right here in Studio City, Los Angeles. Romans 5:6, you see, at just the right time, the scripture says, it says it, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rare will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinning, Jesus was dying for our sins. He loves us. That babe in a manger was a gift to us to save us from ourselves, saving us from causing all this chaos on the earth. We need the Lord more than ever in this day. We need a relationship with God. He wants to give us life. He wants to give us love for each other. And it's all found in a relationship with him. He is the gift. I want to close with a couple poems. What do you say? Two poems and a quote from Napoleon. Are you ready? If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a savior. A savior. Napoleon Bonaparte said this about Jesus. He said, I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander the Great, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have all founded empires, but upon what did we rest the creation of our genius? He says, upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire on love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him. Dr. James Allen Francis, 1926, wrote this poem, One Solitary Life. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, when public opinion turned against him. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. And when through the mockery of a trial, he was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While dying, his executioners gambled for his clothes, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today Jesus is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. At just the right time, how is it possible that someone who was only in the public eye for 3 years could impact civilization to this degree? Maybe there is something special about him. God has brought you here today for such a time as this. I don't know the hundred or thousands of series of moments that have brought you to this moment, but I believe God has brought you here today, and he has put it on my heart to declare to you today at just the right time that Jesus is the gift. He is the greatest gift in all of history. He is the gift we need. He was given to you by God to bring you back into relationship with your Father so we can have peace with God and peace with one another, loving God and loving each other. Jesus is the gift to the world. Merry Christmas from Almighty God. Amen. I want to pray for us. We all stand up. I want to pray for us here today. I don't know where you're at with God, but I believe he's brought you here today for such a time as this. And I want to pray that God would do a work in your heart, would forgive you of your sin, he'd bring you closer in relationship with him. He would give you the gift of heaven if you need that. Give you a relationship with him from this day forward. I want to pray and ask God's blessing on us. And then we'll close in a little a cappella song, What Do You Say? Let's pray. Let's turn our hearts to him. Let's reflect on what he has done for us on the earth. Father, we pray and we say, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let us receive their king. And Lord, forgive us for rejecting our king at times. God, I pray for all of us here today that we would be healed by your message of grace. You love us because you love us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And we're shocked that you would be so kind to us, God, to send your son on a rescue mission to save us from all of our sin, from all of our wrong. And so, Lord, we ask that you would heal us in this moment. We ask that you would forgive us. And we pray that we would receive the greatest gift ever given. That we would open that gift and receive with gladness your presence, a relationship with you. Father, I pray for everyone praying that secretly in their heart, saying, yes, Lord, that's me. I pray that you would come and meet them, Lord. I pray that you would help them. I pray that you would carry them through life. I pray that you would save them and give them life and that abundantly and the gift of heaven forever. Father, we call upon you as Lord and Savior over our lives. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. Bless us this season. We pray that we would go full of joy and peace and rest in this season. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.